here because he's in his upper 80s. And I said, Bob, what are you laughing at? And he says, oh, I just remembered something. When Mary and his wife and he were graduating from Wheaton College, and Billy Graham and his wife, or to be Ruth, were graduating at the same time, the same weekend. And Billy told Bob that they were going to graduate at 11 o'clock, go through the ceremony. Did you ever hear this story, Craig? Yeah. Correct me if I get it tweaked wrong. And that he and his wife, Ruth, were going to get married, I think, at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And Big Bob and his wife were going to graduate at 11, and a couple weeks later they were going to get married. But when he heard that Billy Graham was only waiting 2 hours after graduation before getting married, he said, Billy, what's the matter? You got no self-control? And Big Bob said, can you imagine me asking the likes of Billy Graham whether he has no self-control? Thought that was pretty funny. As mentioned, we're going to change things up just a little bit. In a little while, we're going to hear from Jim Downey, who I am so pleased he was willing to share, because I can't say enough about this guy. But just very briefly, I want to say to you guys, grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul had an incredible relationship with Timothy. Big Bob mentored a guy by the name of Walt Henriksen. A number of you guys heard him. Memorable, memorable guy. Walt Henriksen and Big Bob mentored me. What does that mean? It means that, as Walt Henriksen would say, he didn't want any more opportunity, because with opportunity came accountability. We cannot determine how much opportunity God puts into our hands. Our responsibility is to take everything that he gives us and to try to turn it into something better. We don't do that on our own. We do it only through the grace of God. And that's why we need grace, mercy, and peace. I am hoping that this weekend will fan some flames in you. I mean, when you look in the fire tonight, if you choose to build a fire in your cabin, and please put the screen back together just so you don't have the embers flying out. Think about the fire that God started in your heart years ago. Now, maybe you are, Ron, how many years ago did you come to Christ? 59 years. A lot of opportunities presented in that period of time. Some of you, maybe 20 years. Some of you, like my buddy here, Randy, incredible surgeon, incredibly talented. Some of you have opportunity with business guys. Some of you have opportunity with kids, grandkids, people in your neighborhood. Wherever you are, as Big Bob would say, be all there. And be there with a purpose in your heart. This is not just some kind of a random equivalent of a traffic accident where we are some cosmic accident that just kind of comes together. Every heartbreak, every opportunity, every promotion, every demotion, every crisis in the neighborhood is known to God well in advance. My son Eric tomorrow, and I don't even see you, Eric. You're right there. Right in front of me. Years ago, he came up here and talked about his time in Iraq. A number of you guys would remember that. And I learned some 7, 8 years ago. Oh my gosh. I remember him walking through the field with Art, talking about Specialist Fox and how this young man had died by a sniper's bullet 2 weeks before that, something like that. And in talking with Art, General Dillon, who had been his principal, and the two of them connecting on something of loss and heartache. I'm not going to share some of the things about that, but tomorrow he's going to give a little bit of an update. If we can use this weekend for God's purposes to be fired up more for God, and I'm not talking about in the way that gets the world's attention. I mean, as Christians in this day and age, it is my conviction that the more on fire for God you are in certain ways, the more a target you are for people of age that want, at least some, nothing of God and want to distance themselves from God entirely. I don't know what your individual lives are, but I know some guys right here who are building stones of remembrance into the lives of a young family that lost dad. And the family will never be the same because of it. Those are opportunities. Those are unique opportunities. How do we grow? Sometimes because tragedy strikes our lives. A 42-year-old man who just brain aneurysm, and how long did he live after they discovered it? A matter of hours. And suddenly a young woman with 4 kids. Say what? Oh, okay. Is left to fend for herself. That's hard stuff. There is hard stuff all over in this world, in this life. I see a Benghazi shirt. What hard things, if you're willing to share, have you seen?
Well, my own struggle is that I tried to serve and I ended up getting hurt to where I couldn't. And so I got, you know, pushed out. And so there was a lot of people that I could have probably helped and stuff in my time when I was in.
My mentor, Walt Henriksen, who profoundly for eternity, and I believe influenced not only me, but my family, my wife, and I want to influence my grandkids. It is a matter of our faithfulness to our opportunities rather than how big a splash we make. And so if God does not give us the opportunity, he does not expect us to do things. But if he does give us the opportunity, we are to follow his lead. I was raised in a Christian home, but I rejected it because I figured I was too smart to be a Christian. And only smart people knew the stupidity of Christianity. I remember watching a cartoon when I was a little boy about a little duck that didn't know how to swim. So a wise owl broke off a twig from a tree, and it became his skyhook. And it became his way of floating on the water. What the duck didn't understand was he didn't need a skyhook. But that's what, to me, religion was. Okay? It was not until some people shared with me the love of Jesus Christ in sincerity and loved an unlovable guy like me that I said, maybe this stuff is authentic. Maybe there is truth in this. And then I was fortunate enough to come across the mentor's mentor. Howie Hendricks, does that name mean anything to many of you? A Dallas Theological professor, in a foreword to one of his books, credited Walt Henriksen as being one of the, if not the foremost, disciple maker of the 20th century. I got to have a friendship with him for nearly 40 years. What is my accountability for that? I don't know. I don't know whether sometimes I am supposed to do this thing or that thing, but I remember one of the stained glass windows that I heard, because see, when I was a kid, I was scheduled not for the priesthood, but to be a preacher. My grandmother said, oh, you're going to be doing this and that. And they used this word call. Okay, those of you who have been a part of a church for very long probably know that word. It was like a brand to me. And years ago, 20-some years ago, I couldn't get China off my mind. And what happened was I went back 14 times to teach there and to adopt. Well, that's probably going to be a little bit of Randy's story tomorrow. These stories have a way of circling around each other. But Dave McCaslin, who's going to be here tomorrow and has been a speaker for us many times before, in his Oklahoma drawl, said, well, Jim, have you ever looked up what the word call means? This was in the day before you could do computer research and, you know, pick the word call and kaleo and all that kind of stuff. So I did it the hard way through books. And that came up with one of the definitions that really surprised me. It was a legal definition, which was appealing to me. And it was a permutation of some other words, but it was this: a kingly summons or subpoena, which is issued and must be heeded immediately. And the only risk, putting it into lay terms, is to the person who fails to be attentive to the call. In a room of 85 guys, I would submit there are at least 85 different calls. It may be to South Fort Collins. It may be to use the name Kector in key ways. It may be to be involved as an engineer and to not only do quality things, but to have an impact on the people around you. If you see yourselves, there are roughly 85 guys here, as 85 different lighthouses in a tempest, and the seas and the waves are blowing hard and taking people under. If you see yourself as a means to be a lighthouse, you have an opportunity to change someone and save them from the devastation. I'm going to close it down right now, simply because I want to get to a more important part, which is Jim, and having you, Jim, tell them something about yourself and then share with us tonight. I will just say this. Jim is with a company called EDM, and I've had the privilege of working with them for 20 years, something like that. A company of extraordinary integrity and quality. And Jim now works for them. I want to get caught up in different stories about it. I'm just going to say this about Jim. I've been working with business guys for 42 years, okay? I've seen some good bankers. I've seen, I've seen some that I wouldn't trust far enough to borrow a plug nickel from them. And I'm not trying to embarrass you here, Jim, but the integrity that I saw in this man's life was one of the most remarkable testimonies of the permeation of Jesus Christ in a transformed life, working in the business world and not being sucked into it and being drowned by it. That's not much of an explanation, except I want to hear this man because I've seen his life in practice and he's worthy of listening to. Faithfulness to opportunity tonight may mean, guys, that you just soak in what he says and see how does it apply to me. Ooh-ah!
Ooh-ah.